Again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And dear brothers and sisters, I'm very, very, very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us being here together and for the opportunity in the depth of my heart to wish you a mubarak. We come to the end of the month of Ramadan and we arrive at the month of Al-Fitr. And it is a great gift and a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another year in our lives has passed, inshallah, in worship, inshallah, in striving, inshallah, in service. And a year of gains for some and some losses also. A year of challenges that some of us never expected, nor even felt we could meet. And in the end, we have discovered again that there is only one answer to every question and one state of heart and mind that will meet these challenges and enable us to grow and to make progress in our life. And that answer is we found in our faith, in our iman, and in our Islam, in our understanding of our Islam, the reality that divine presence in this path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present, Allah's mercy and compassion, His forgiveness and guidance is present in each and every moment in this room, in us. And we are responsible to develop the insight, the hush, the intuition, the sight, the ability to see beyond the limitations of the world into that consciousness where we're able to see and to hear and understand the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we're also enjoined to do something else. We're enjoined to do with our beloved brother and Dr. Sulman Yang has enjoined us to become more than a footnote, to become part of this text in this world. We have feel already a sense of separation from this friend who has been with us for the past month, because we've had the opportunity to fast and to retreat and to change our focus and our schedules and our perspective and to direct our attention inwardly more to our hearts and our spiritual intellect and even to into different ways of perhaps toward our bodies by just a mere fasting. And in so doing, we have been blessed to have glimpses of dimensions of life and challenges, inshallah, our abilities and our disabilities, and to reaffirm our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ourselves. And as in each year, we're concerned about how we can hold that fast, the results of that fast on pad last this short period of time. We have to remember the whole past to the love of Allah. Now, how can we maintain this commitment of the past month? Our schedule of sitting, underlined by me, our study of Quran, our awareness of what our tongues speak and our minds think. During this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the door of hell closed and the angels have been among us. And now, as I mentioned, every year it is up to us to keep a lock and key on the door, at least one of those chain locks. And we all realize what it takes to resist falling back to old ways and thinking, our postmodern models of self-centeredness, our habits, which are excuses for creating and recreating patterns of negativity or fear or doubt or self-deprecation. And there have been many gains and a lot of progress made this year, inshallah. Today and every day, our primary responsibility is to affirm our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you may remember, some say that this celebration is called Eid because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restores joy and happiness, Yiddu, to this, at this time, to His servants on this day. It's very important for us to realize that this noun in Arabic, id and awad, as well as the verbs ya'udu, adu, udu, are all derived from the same root, which means to return, to do something again, to go to a place of returning. Well, wouldn't we call that our home? To bring back, to relinquish, and to restore. And it's on that last topic that I want to speak today. But before I get into that too deeply, on restoration and renewal, and jadid, untajdid, I want to tell you and remind you that Allah created the Garden of Paradise on the day of breaking the fast. Yom HaFitr. He planted the trees of bliss, Tubah, with its roots in paradise, and its leaves extended downwards to this earth. And some say that one of its branches will enter the house of each inhabitant in the garden of paradise, bearing flowers and bearing ripe fruit of every imaginable kind on the day of Eid al-Fitr. Our holy prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when the Yom HaFitr comes around and the people emerge from their homes and pray in the open space near the burial ground, which inshallah we're going to do one year. We have the burial ground and we have the open space nearby, but we have to prepare it properly for this. Inshallah, come back next year. Perhaps we'll make the khutbah then for there, or even maybe at the Eid al-Adha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take notice of them and He will say, my servants, for my sake you have kept the fast and for my sake you have performed the prayers. Now take your leave knowing that you have been granted forgiveness. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the night of the breaking of the fast, Allah will grant the recompense due to anyone who has kept the fast throughout the month of Ramadan. He will grant the recompense in full measure. And then in the early morning of the day of breaking the fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give His angels their instructions. And in obedience to His command, they will promptly fly down to the earth, where they will position themselves at the street corners and the crossroads. Remember where we picked up all the beautiful angels today at the crossroads? Huh? Proclaiming in a voice that is audible, and to all created beings apart from the jinn and the humankind, O community of Muhammad, come forth into the presence of your Lord, who accepts the smallest offering, bestows the greatest abundance, and forgives the most terrible sins. So again this year, alhamdulillah, they were at the crossroads when we met. Inshallah, we're all able to receive their blessings. No soul knows what joy is reserved for them in return for their works. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we move on. And I stand here before you on the Eid al-Fitr with firm faith and knowledge that this month's past has brought us many challenges and opportunities, and with firm faith and intention that each of you, and myself included, will find our will and our himmat to bring light and barakah and the knowledge that we've gained into the coming months and the coming years. And I stand here firm in my knowledge and experience that it is only with the companionship of good people, as we've been talking about over this time in this retreat, in the madad of the shayukh and of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through the specific practices and endeavors that we do, we can truly and honestly experience that divine presence as our true companion in this life's journey and achieve the levels of progress that we say that we seek. Only with sincere effort and with profound obedience, trust, love, can we free ourselves from the shackles of fear and the doubt and unwise attachments, and affirm our unique and specially designed place in this life and in the hereafter. And for that, we have to know ourselves and be able to love ourselves, because that self was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And moreover, I hope that today we can affirm our practical applied role and responsibility for what we encounter in life, where we've been placed in this world. One would have to be deaf and dumb and blind not to realize that we live in a time when renewal, personal and collective, spiritual and social, is an absolute necessity. The degree of corruption, of prejudice, of bigotry, of oppression and greed are enormous. And we are exiting this month of renewal, this month of reflection, this month where we are to deepen our faith, and we refine our knowledge, and we rekindle our hope, inshallah, and we build our strength, inshallah. This is a great and celebratory time, but it is a time of urgency nonetheless. It's a time when, if we open our eyes and we listen, we will be humbled by the amount of responsibility we have in this time of testing. And it's my hope that you and I have had our fast accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we have felt some transformation and exhibited some sufficient gratitude and sufficient humility as people of Islam. We are not to be only Muslim, but we strive to be mu'min. And for those of Tariqah, we must refine our inner being, develop the subtle organs of perception, the Latif, and strive to experience that divine presence and serve that divine presence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our primary effort, goal, and accomplishment in life. All those things that we think are primary come automatically if we do that. And truly, Islam and Tasawwuf are a global reality of hope for a world that's in dire need. The awareness of the company of great minds, the open and awakened hearts, is profound. And I am here to ask you to reach out to others of like minds, to reach out to others of open hearts, to build brother-sister relationships based on sincere efforts to build a bridge of understanding between people, to build a bridge within yourself between the inner, the batin, and the zahir, the outer, to understand the commands of the alam al-amr and to apply them in the alam al-khalq, to establish in this world dignity and a sense of purpose and mutual respect by establishing it first in yourself and for those loved ones near you and around you. But do not settle for less than the highest standards and the deepest sincerity from you, yourself, or from your fellow Muslims. Let this Eid be to a call to action for a safe, secure, sane, respectful, pious, tolerant, and peaceful world. All around us, if we look, we can see opportunity for positive change, for creative problem solving, for critical decisions, and for the advancement of human purpose. Allah has placed, by His will, all these opportunities for us to see. Some are not pleasant to look at, admittedly, and certainly they are not easy to change and to correct. Experientially, we know that. But with His divine will, we can have these spiritual goals. But we have to look, and we have to listen, and we have to act. We cannot be passive. We have to come to understand that if we have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, then our life is not about creating a masjid or even a school or earning money or getting power. Rather, it's about creating practical movements, applying the most refined spiritual science and human capabilities that will place the touch of Islam, the special touch of the Sufi, the eye of the believer, the hand of that believer, and foremost the heart of a Sufi upon the needs of future generations. Movements that will address the challenges of the world in which we live and that will create a legacy which we will be humbled to leave behind. That will include the masajid and the schools and the institutions that effectually are used as a means to make these changes. The first brick in such institutions are laid by Allah, not by our hand. And the building, each brick, is created by ourself. The month of Ramadan and the Eid al-Fitr is a true invitation to revitalize and renew our brotherhood and our sisterhood by applying our knowledge and our experience, our iman, our love, to making this world a better place. And the wisdom and the capacities represented here in this room and at other gatherings today must be focused and utilized for all the people around the world. Muslims who are truly on the path of Islam, those of us who walk in the tariqah of tasawwuf, have been given an idhn and the irada, the freedom to choose to address the pressing needs of these times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to provide, showering upon us humbling responsibilities that should govern our lives. And though our methods may be different, these differences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created are proof of the plan of diversity in unity. My dear brothers and sisters, we must strive to answer a call of these unusual times and to be the Ibn and Umar al-Wahd. We have to seize the moment and we have to respond to the in full cooperation, because we have to remember how to work together in the dunya as we worked as one before our physical existence in the ghaib. The living reality we must become of the Asma al-Husna. So in that way we can emerge, most properly re-emerge from behind the veil to address the needs of humanity in the zahir and to understand the relationship in the batin. And so when we look at the state of humankind in the world today and we see all these kinds of critical breakdowns and breaches in mental and in emotional stability, we see disconnects between values and or ethics and actions. We see injustice that's wrapped in the cloak of law and in the cloak of law and of religion, and promiscuity wrapped in the cloak of love. We see the deterioration of responsibility, of compassion, of patience and tolerance, and so much more. Most important, we see a lack of humility, an absence of sincerity, and a lack of taqwa that precludes the relationship with the Divine Presence to be one that is constructive. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Holy Quran, corruption has appeared on land and sea because of the evil wrought by the hands of people, so that He may make them taste some of what they have done, and so they may turn back. So when we search for the cause of all this degradation of the environment and of society's values, we need to look no further than ourselves. All the issues we are faced with today, poverty, food security, war, genocide, the depletion of the natural resources, occur because of both internal and external imbalances and disharmony. And until we correct these inner elements as individuals, any effort we make to address the external issues can only represent a surface correction at best. And at worst, we're fated to give rise to even more problems. But the solution lies also in the problem. Not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us responsible and placed us in creation at the crossroads of the batin and the zahir, but He has also placed us at the crossroads of traditional family values and modern individualism. The crossroads of theory and of practice. The crossroads of human responsibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation and greed. As Muslims, and particularly as aspirants to tasawwuf, some of us are, we are part of a global religion that can take advantage of both our place in time and creation and in the modern trends toward globalization in order to present to the world community the clear and effective global perspective that has always characterized Islam. The expression of a comprehensive, a compassionate, a totally integrated system of Islam that we identify with also those of us who pursue the studies in tasawwuf. Because it itself is by its essential nature and essence reflective of time and place and circumstance. Its moderate and holistic view of humanity promotes inclusion over separation. Tasawwuf accepts the responsibility bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amanah. It affirms the dynamic presence of the divine. And moreover, it is effective. And its affective mode of fulfilling the intention and purpose of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama bu'ithu li'utamim makarimhu al-akhlaq." I was not sent except to complete the best of character, best of manners. This process of fulfilling both the inner and the outer calls to embody this system of adab is the core of Islam for the living human being. It's a process of refinement. It's a process of renewal. And so while we live at a time of growth, both great heartache and suffering in many places in this world, as well as heightened awareness of this suffering through global media, we also live at a time ripe for these great opportunities to combat extremism, opportunities to end poverty, opportunities to create food security, and opportunities to address inequities, bias, and prejudice, and tools to educate the masses of humanity to their common values and common purpose have had no greater availability in the history of humankind than today. And the unique status of Muslims and people of Tariqah obligates us to use these tools that are available to us to bring a long history of wisdom, a long history of science and spiritual renewal to the world. Alhamdulillah, this is an exceptional time of tajdeed, of renewal, social and spiritual. And it's precisely because tasawwuf is experiential and reflective of the ephemeral moment, yet firmly rooted in the Sharia and the Sunnah, it is precisely because it requires us to develop a personal, reflective nature of sincere and striving human being that it preserves the traditions and the essential foundations of Islam while utilizing them in an ever new and ever more relevant way. It is dynamic, it is organic, and it develops according to the way of great tradition to access that fayyad, that divine energy from the divine presence. Allah says in Quran, Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. He is with you wherever you are. The application of this method is founded in universal values that are externally, eternally relevant to the realities of the time we live in. I call this principle applied Sufism. You can call it whatever you want. Classical teachings for the contemporary teacher, the seeker, as in the title of my book, is a real statement. Who are we? And what is it that guides us? When applied, the dhikr, the sohbah, muraqabah, munasabah, khidmah, tarbiyah, that we strive to embody and to practice enables us to fully develop the eyes that see, the ears that hear, and the heart that beats in cadence with the beauty, the light, the compassion, and the love that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have in our hands and been presented a unique opportunity in our lives, been put in a place that many of us never knew we were going to be placed, on a path that many of us never knew we were going to walk, with companions that we never knew we were going to have as companions, nor probably would have chosen in many cases. We've been placed in a very special place, a place where we can have a bulwark against losing the essence of our deen, a place that encompasses the essentials of modernity of Islam and its deep roots firmly at the core of principles of Islam. So, as aspirants, we affirm and work for justice and peace and tolerance and equity and equality, and we do that in trusting in Allah. We try to address the ills of this world with the skills of the mystic and the devoted servant, the skills of an expert, the skills of a human being, a humane human being, drawing energy and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while inwardly maintaining peace and harmony with that divine presence, inshaAllah, and with that companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, given the world, we have many, many opportunities to seize the moment in which we live. Though our ways may seem strange to others at times, we have to remember what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, indeed, Islam began as something strange, and it will return as something strange the way it began. So give glad tidings to the strangers. He was asked, who are the strangers, O Allah's apostle? He answered, those who are righteous when the people have become corrupt. When will a person who works for good in this world no longer be an exception, no longer be a stranger? As more individuals realize that they stand at this nexus between knowledge based in wisdom and insight and the achievement of responsible, constructive, inclusive, positive well-being for all, the universal values, the intentions of Al-Quran, the seerah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have internalized will continue to further shift the paradigm, inshaAllah. The resulting phenomena that emerges will manifest a comprehensively positive period for humanity, inshaAllah, and for this world and for future generations, in turn, preparing the way for a time of total transformation. Total transformation, in this sense, is possible because of the interconnected nature of the system in which we live. Everything we perceive and all that is beyond our perception is part of this integrative, dynamic, responsive system, a system of repeating patterns, repeating signs reflected over and over and over again in the Alam al-Khalaq. Why then do we never understand? So few of us ever maintain the understanding of all the teachings that have been sent by Allah through the Anbiya to repeat again and again the same pattern, to draw our attention to this. The Rabbi al-Alameen, the universes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, consists of the dimensions of atoms and chromosomes and genes and cells and organs, as well as the totality of our bodies, our social structures, including cultures and races and communities, villages and nations that comprise our world. All are reflections of the same pattern. And in this endlessly integrated system of all things in this world, from the subatomic levels to the farthest universes, they all reflect that same universal truth, the same universal reality. Separation, my dear brothers and sisters, exists only in our minds. We are all the children of Hazrat Adam, alayhi salam, and all the creation is the living intention of the one ahead of Allah. As those who deeply recognize this greater context, those who aspire to and study what we study, whether we call it Sufism or mysticism, whatever you want to call it, or just call it Islam, which inshallah one day we can just say that. In today's society, we're obligated to encourage a renewal of both spiritual, grounded, intellectual pursuits and technological achievements, as well as to exemplify and pursue refined inner moral and ethical principles based on a personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to develop, we must develop, comprehensive, realistic models, educational models that require individuals to study both the classical texts and the hermeneutical approaches to modern religious beliefs. And these approaches must take into consideration the time and the place and the circumstance and the people. They must address the needs of today in communities using critical thinking, critical inquiry, and sound judgment. That's based on the most sound epistemology, that of the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fashioned us with. And this retreat that we have just come through has come at the right time in the right place, and has brought together the right people in order to address the right issues, both inner and outer. Inshallah, many thousands of Muslims and non-Muslims will view this on the internet, and hopefully they'll get receive something from it, or on Soul TV, inshallah. It's not a reality that a message of hope, and progress, a message of mutual love and mutual respect, of mutual effort and addressing global realities and inner dimensions can reach thousands of people instantaneously. This is the part of the tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered to us. So what we speak about here today, you can continue to address among yourself, among your friends, what your thoughts are over the weekend, over this retreat. You should carry with you over the next few months, assuming they're good thoughts. And this convergence must not stop here, but rather it has to begin here. We must use the technology of the day to remain in contact. We must call on the skills of our brethren to address the critical issues that face humanity from both within and without. People of technical knowledge, people of great wisdom, people of great intellectual capabilities, people of education, people of simple people who work very hard in service. And to that I want to stop and pause and thank those of you of our community who worked so hard over this retreat and have provided those meals, the wonderful meals, day and night cooking, and provided for all of us the repast that represents what is awaiting for us in Jannah. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this subject of tajdeed, of renewal, is a very important one for the times in which we live in. Because renewal is constant, it must be, it's eternal, on every level of creation. And from individual cell growth that regenerates itself to new generations of life, our children that we see lying on the floor learning to turn over, or running down the road, or in our school in their uniforms, marching toward knowledge. But renewal also applies to ideas and commitments and to values. And the Mujaddid, the revitalizer of the faith, is thought to always come at a time when the Muslim community departs from the true path as defined by the Quran and the Sunnah. The task of a Mujaddid is to return to the Muslims to their basic sources and to cleanse Islam from impure elements, creating an atmosphere in which Islam will flourish more or less in its original pure form. And each epoch, this has meant something different. Today, the world is much smaller than it once was. The message moves much more quickly in the internet. But what one views and listens to on the internet is still a matter of choice. And the issues and choices have not changed despite their increased availability. Perhaps we can entertain the idea that Allah has provided for this period in history a mujaddid that's not contained in a physical body, but contained in all the resources that are available to us. Let's not jump toward the conclusion that such and such a person is a mujaddid of the age, but rather maybe collectively we all have a part in that reality. Perhaps collectively Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tools that we all play an important part in the revitalization and the renewal of the essence of Islam. This implication is that tajdeed is ongoing, it's ongoing, it's constant, and it's continuous. And the need for Muslims to explain Islam, to make Islam applicable to constantly changing circumstances and situations, has always been continuous through time. And this must be done without violating Islam's essential principles. And in this sense, there is the possibility, or indeed the likelihood, if not necessity, of the existence of a mujaddid within each one of us, in terms of yearning for a return to our fitrah. Just think about how we would, over centuries, think, how did the message of someone like Ahmed Faruqi Sarhindi rahmatullahi reach so many people? This was a sign of the mujahid. This was a sign of renewal. Now what? Now what? Instantaneously, it can affect people's thinking. But what will make the person's and the people who receive it think positively as opposed to negatively? It will be the barakah, the intention that's behind that message. We all know what we find on the blogosphere, clogosphere. I like to call it the clogosphere. You know, not only is it clogged up, but it clogs me up. And you know what that means. You have to take a divine remedy. Tajdeed does not mean going back to the beginning and trying to create a society that's a replica at the time of Medina and the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means instead to renew in our time and in our circumstances the applicability of the principles of Islam and the belief in faith and submission, trust and kindness, inclusivity and mutual respect, love and justice, and personal responsibility, community responsibility, global responsibility, is exemplified by the Medinan example and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And gradually the perspective unveiled by these principles will help us to understand the ummah to comprise the entire interconnected global. Although the contemporary resurgence of Islam is most often inspired by the bright examples of its formative past, we have to accept that we will never return to that time, and we must with maturity begin to bring that ideal to the present with a pragmatism born of the living light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Renewal means renewal. There's something new in the re. Okay? Tajdeed is like a perennial plant. When the new season comes and the time is right, it emerges from the ground again. We must embrace and grow in this season of renewal. We must build a modernity that reflects the essence of and the historical and spiritual origins of Islam and tasawuf without losing them. And the difference between the contemporary renewal and what has happened in the past is that in our time, tajdeed is occurring in the context of rapid globalization, instantaneous communication. The internet revolution has taken place. Mass communications have broken down the boundaries. Social media are indeed becoming spiritual media. And these communicational technologies have made all the people of the world potentially the global ummah. But in a way that human beings have never thought of before, but certainly in the exact way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended. Our knowledge of the essential principles of Islam as eternal means that we as Muslims must not only grasp this ongoing transformation, but we have to embrace and utilize it for the common good, for the common good for all people across the world. So we have to remember that the message of Islam through the Quran and Sunnah is a universal message, and this tajdeed is an inextricably universal principle. So the event of, the growth of, the use of global system of communication is entirely and even uniquely appropriate. The crossroads of the natural imminence of renewal and the technological facility that we have today creates an unprecedented potential. And this is more, my dear brothers and sisters, than a renaissance. It is more than the Enlightenment in Spain from the 11th to the 15th centuries, or the 17th and the 18th centuries in the rest of Europe, when the seekers of truth were involved in science and ethics and aesthetics and rationality. We are living in a time when we must not only allow people to grow, we must support them in their growth. We must give them the means to become educated. We must give them the access to the technology. We must trust that they will, in turn, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, address the global problems from the spiritual perspective of Islam as the fruits of our efforts are seen. Although this talk has focused on the macro level, our commitment to Tajdeed is also reflected in and is a question of personal renewal on the microcosmic level. And each one of us has a primary obligation to renew our Islam on a daily basis, if not more often. Our tasawuf on a daily basis, if not more often. This is the essence of the salah. This is the essence of the dhikr. Maintaining this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by applying the principles of Islam and tasawuf to our daily lives, our decisions, our choices, in an individual basis. It comprises the pursuit of transformation that simultaneously contributes to the macro level. Indeed, it drives and it fuels it. This requires a personal commitment to deepening one's understanding of Islam, an educated, spiritually alive, and traditionally loyal attitude toward Islam. And on a personal level, it means reforming our thoughts and enlightening ourselves, remaining firmly on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, learning how to seek and how to obtain higher, pure levels of muraqabah, pure means of tafakkur, of contemplation, without ceasing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Holy Quran. Say, I advise you about one matter. Wake up for the sake of Allah in pairs or alone and reflect. And so through this tafakkur, one's relationship to life and relationships in life are facilitated so that we become capable of clearly seeing and we become able to fulfill our destinies, the service of our fellow human beings, fi sabilillah. Real renewal comes from upholding refined language and refined values that are handed down to us century by century from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, good manners, husn al-adab, are a part of faith. And he also said, my Lord corrected me and he gave me excellent correction. And so, my brothers and sisters, self-renewal takes place not in the outer realm only, but begins in the inner realm where the spirit is revived and revivified. And then it manifests in the physical world insofar as it engages in and uses modern scientific discoveries like the technology and the concepts of psychology or whatever to increase our knowledge of the universe and to give us more and more skills until we become a member of what I call the team of excellence. We have to constantly hold our hearts and minds to do our muhasabah. We have to remember that every day we have to balance what's in the register. My father used to tell me a story that at the time of the Depression, in 1929, before the Depression, he was working in a bank in New York City. And if they were off by one penny in resolving the books, they had to stay until they found that one penny. One penny. Think about that. Think about sitting every day in muhasabah and trying to remember everything you need to repent of. But also, the other part of muhasabah is what? It's to think of all the things that you did right and be grateful for that and thank Allah for that and repent to Allah for those things that are wrong. So we have to sustain that interface between the inner and outer. And that's the interface with us, and that's a choice. So let me end by saying that as we move forward, what we need is a renewed understanding of Tajdeed, as a movement toward awakening, toward enlightenment, a movement toward building a dialogue between ourselves and everyone else in this world, between ourselves and nature, between ourselves and the unknown. And I don't know any group other than certain groups of aspirants, especially, I have to say, very selfishly, aspirants of tasawwuf, that either have that training or that ability or that inclination to the depth of understanding that's necessary for to us to make effective change in this world, if it is the will of Allah. But we cannot assume it's not the will of Allah, because we look around and we see all the misery, the loss. We have to assume it is the will of Allah to make this change, because in doing that, we have to change ourselves. The life of those aspiring to this path today has to include a response to an interest in the solutions to these problems. And as Muslims, actually, we have to attain and live this understanding of renewal as we throw off the chains of merely ritualistic behavior and attachments, so that we can learn the efficacy of Islam from our own personal experience, from our own inner growth, from witnessing the changes in the ummah for which all Muslims long. And these changes will have been built on the foundation and the ethical and moral principles of Al-Quran and the Sunnah. And they are eternally resolute principles. So as we learn to see and hear, we are repeatedly made aware that we are a part of a much greater integrative eternal system, a reflection of the very same truth that created our own existence, the very same love and compassion that is infused throughout the worlds in the fitra, in human nature. We are not only the inheritors, but we are also the progenitors of a message of eternal goodness and essential goodness and truth, of eternal peace that is Islam. And today we have to renew our commitment to fulfill our duty to Allah by further refining our own selves as well as our interactions with the community. I am humbled and grateful to stand here and to share some of these thoughts with you as such a noble group of believers, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me of any errors and omissions, and I plead with you for your dua. I'm very grateful again to stand here before you and to thank my brother and friend, Dr. Sulman Yang, who put this subject into a very wonderful and tremendous context for us this weekend. And I hope everybody really grasps what he was saying about the movement we have to make. The movement from the footnote to the text because of truth. Because of truth. I hope I'm characterizing that in very few words in a proper way, my dear brother. And I'm very thankful to Ibrahim for coming and sharing with us this tafsir of Ibn Atallah Iskandari, rahmatullahi, and giving us some good metaphors to go along with that. Opportunities, because it fit very perfectly with what the intention was, I did not talk to them about it. I left it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or shall I say, Allah made me leave it in His hand. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa namarahu wa nastahnanu wa nastaghfiru wa numinu bihi wa natakhawalu alayhi wa nashadu an la ilaha illahu wa atuhu la sharika la nashadu anna muhammadan abduhu rasulah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alayhi jamil anbiya wa musallina wa malakati makarabin wa aliyya wa salihin wa mujahideen fa hiddinin bi rahmatika rahman rahimi qawla lalahu subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitab al-mubin inna وأرد لهما أن سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا الحسين وأن أم حمى سيارتي فاطمة والزهرة وأهل البيت الكرام وأزواجه نبياتك وطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وأن صحباتي الصالحين وتابعين وتابعين وعبادي الله المخلصين بإسلامين وإمامين وإحسانين ويوم الدين عباد الله. إن الله يمر بأدل والإحسان وإتعال الهور بريانا والفشاي والمكري وباهي ويذكم للاكم تذكرون وذكر الله أكبر إذا مبارك. Thank you for your patience.
القادر الباكر الرابع المعز المجد السميع النصير الحكم العدل الجيد الخبير الحليم العبير.